And so today we start a new sermon series titled, Be Real. You've heard the expression many times. Come on now, be real. Many years ago when I was a much younger person with hair, I was having a conversation with an older gentleman, and we were talking about the subject of marriage. You know, I'm young and I want to get some good advice, but somewhere in this conversation, this older gentleman says to me, listen, in 50 years plus of marriage, me and my wife, we've never had a disagreement. We've never had an argument. As a matter of fact, we've never even raised our voices at each other. And I had that look on my face. You know that squint that, huh? Now maybe that was his experience. I don't discount that. Some of y'all are looking like, that's the way I was looking. Right there, that's the way I was looking. Because can I be real with you for a minute? As much as I love my boo, the many years that we have been married, there's been some times when we've had some disagreements. There's been some times, come on, y'all. So where the married folk in the house? Can y'all be real for a minute? Y'all looking real good, looking all cute as couples, but can y'all agree? Y'all have had some disagreements. Hey, amen, somebody over here. Come on. Thank you, D. Y'all gonna leave me out here by myself, y'all. I need some people that would be, come on, be real. It's gonna happen, y'all. Jordan, it's gonna happen. It's gonna come. I'm just being real with you. Y'all figure out how to handle all of it. It's gonna come. There'll be a day y'all gonna disagree. Listen, but being real, y'all, it's just the words, the phrase, it means being truthful. It means being honest. And if we're going to be honest with anybody else, we need to be honest with God and honest with ourselves. As a matter of fact, you have to be, God knows everything about everything. And so whether you're honest with him or not, he already knows. But it means truthfulness. And in the streets, y'all, we used to call it this, keeping it 100. Some of y'all still remember that phrase, that we're simply being real. So I'm wondering in this moment, can we be real as it relates to our relationship with God? Can we be real about our life of faith? Is there anybody in here today that, can you admit this, can you be honest, that what you believe about God, what you believe about the Word of God, what you read in His Word, and what you hold true to your heart, then how you live can sometimes not be in alignment? Okay, I'm by myself. Okay, maybe on this side of the room. So in the world of psychology, we call this cognitive dissonance. That we believe a certain thing, but sometimes our actions don't line up with what we believe. Can somebody on this side of the room admit that I believe in the power of prayer? But there's been some seasons of my life where I've gone prayerless, that I didn't feel like praying. I know what the Word of God says, but I didn't do it. Is there somebody in this section in here can say, listen, I know what the Word says about forgiveness, but I wanted to hold on to that thing. I didn't feel like giving it up. So I held on to something way too long because I didn't want to forgive. I know what the Bible says. I know what Jesus said. For all these times I'm supposed to give, but I didn't want to do it. And so what I believed didn't line up with my actions. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 7, he talks about this spiritual battle that we have, the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And Paul says, let me paraphrase, he says something like this. Listen, I want to do right, but I don't find myself doing right. I want to do good, but I don't always do good. And so I'm in this spiritual battle. There's a difference between what I'm saying and what I believe and what I actually do. Yeah. I heard somebody say a long time ago, said to a pastor, said, Pastor, preaching is one thing, but living it is another. So here's what I want you to know. So if we're going to grow deeper in our faith, in our relationship with God, deeper in our journey with God, it has to be deliberate. That it doesn't happen on accident. that we have to choose to grow deeper in our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus, and our relationships with one another. But here's what I know too. Until we acknowledge where we are, what station of life we are, what headspace we're in right now today, we can never go to where God wants us to be. We can never really grow in our faith. That we've got to be real. Can I ask you this morning, where are you today in your faith? Where are you in your walk with God? What areas in your life, and you know what the Word of God says, but perhaps you're not in alignment with the Word of God. So the purpose of this sermon series is to help us as we develop a greater faith for real life. Yeah. To admit where we are so that we can grow deeper in our faith. And so get your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 as we look at verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says this. This is the words of the Apostle Paul. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Here it is, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So as we're trying to be real, our belief and our actions to come together, I want to encourage our hearts from this thought, y'all, and challenge us in our thinking. I'm trying not to lose my mind. Have you ever said to yourself, listen, if just one more thing happens, if I'm going to lose my mind. Listen, the bills are getting on my nerves. I must lose my mind. I've got a whole lot of family drama going on right now. I feel like I'm going to lose my mind. The pressure at work, the doctor's report, the uncertain future, all of these things, y'all, makes us feel like we're going to lose our mind. We're going to lose control. We're going to lose our sense of peace. We're going to lose it, y'all. I dare to say many people here, you're smiling on the outside, but you're probably struggling on the inside. I wonder how many people here today you're carrying, you came in here with anxiety. You came in here with some frustration, some disappointment, and maybe you are just exhausted. But listen, you're not losing your faith. It happens at the normal rhythm of life that we go through changes. And as a young people always, life is lifing. But maybe you feel like you're losing your peace. In our text for today, the Apostle Paul speaks. This letter to the Philippians is Paul's letter of joy. Paul mentions joy some 16 times in this letter. It's interesting because the Apostle Paul is actually in prison. That he's in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the rhythm and the theme of the book of Philippians is about joy in suffering. That the church at the time, they are being oppressed. They have pressure. They have opposition as they're trying to live and stand for Christ. Again, it's a paradox, joy and suffering. That the two don't seem to go together. I have joy when everything is going well in my life. Yeah. I have joy when I have a lot of money in the bank. I have joy when I live in a nice neighborhood, in a nice house, but in my suffering. But Paul says you can have joy in the midst of your suffering. Yeah. As a matter of fact, y'all, it's the suffering that brings us closer into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that also suffered for us. And so Paul points this church at Philippi, or Philippi, however you want to pronounce it, he uses Jesus as the example of what it looks like to have great mental and spiritual stability. And when I talk about losing the mind, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we feel like we don't have great mental stability. But when life is out of control, the answer is not found in our changing circumstance. Circumstances will change, and they'll change, and they'll change. But it's about adopting the mind of Christ. And so here it is. So if you want to keep from losing your mind, this spiritual mind, this spiritual kingdom-focused mind, this kingdom attitude, this kingdom focus in this kingdom heart, you must learn to have the mind of Christ. And we'll talk about that. Understand something. The battleground is always in the mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against against Christ. Listen, the devil wants your mind. You know, does he wants to kill you and take you out? If he's just got your mind. That if he has your head and you on swivel and you're looking everywhere, he's got you. So the battleground is oftentimes in our minds. Mind, what does that word mean? So in the text for today, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. In your King James Version, some older version, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This word mind in the Greek, phroneo, it really relates to our understanding, our way of thinking, and our attitudes. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ in 2 Corinthians. But at the same time, the text is saying, listen, let this mind, strive for this mind. So how is it on one hand, I have the mind of Christ, but I'm struggling to keep the mind of Christ. But isn't that how it is as we live out our lives for Jesus? That we are saved, but we're struggling to be sanctified and be more like him. Yeah. Isn't that the way it really is? Yeah, that we have a relationship, but we're seeking to grow deeper in our relationship with him. Let me explain it to you this way. So think about marriage, and so the married people in the house. That at one point you were courting. I don't know what the phrase is today. You were courting. That's, you know, when you're trying to get with somebody. You know what I'm saying. Come on, y'all. You see her and you know, and she's shaped like a Coke bottle. And you, girl, let me talk to you for a minute. I want to know your name. Let me talk to you. I met my wife in my grandmother's neighborhood where she had a little small grocery store. And when she came in, y'all, and I saw her in those Jordache jeans, it was on like neck bones. It was on, y'all. And so I wanted to know her name. I knew her family, but I wanted to get close to her. Yeah. And so I did everything I knew in my power to make sure I could do that. And I whispered sweet enough. We talked on the phone all night long. Y'all know we didn't have cell phones, y'all. The cord, you know, that long cord on the telephone, you drag it to your room, y'all. You didn't want mom and daddy to hear you, you know. So you said, girl, what you doing? How you doing? You didn't want mom and daddy to hear you talking on the phone. Yeah. All of that stuff that y'all did, you know. And so then you got married. But once you get married, listen, the honeymoon shouldn't stop. That you shouldn't stop whispering sweet nothings. You shouldn't stop courting. You shouldn't stop dating. And the same thing as it relates to what we're talking about, we have the mind of Christ, but we struggle to hold on to it because the enemy doesn't want you to have God's mind. Listen, the world's way of thinking is totally different than God's way of thinking. Don't you know that? The world's way of thinking is totally different than the way God thinks. Listen, the world will say when somebody slaps you, you better slap them back. But Jesus said, he said something totally different, y'all. And some of y'all still ain't in agreement with Jesus. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. He said, nah, I ain't turning no other cheek. It's on. The world's way of thinking is different than God's way of thinking. But we have the mind of Christ. The Bible makes it clear, y'all, that in our relationship, there's a relationship between our mind, our attitude, our way of thinking, and our relationship with God. Isaiah chapter 26:3 says this, God will keep the mind that has stayed on him in perfect peace because he trusts him. When you have this burdened mind, it leads to this bad attitude, this bad way of thinking, which can lead to a broken life. So really quickly, I want to go through a few things, y'all. We're going to have the Lord's Supper, and we're going to move out. Let's see how this old text, and the words in this old text are often thought of as an old hymn. They said, theologians said it was an old hymn that the church used to sing back in the day. We'll call it an old 100. Let's see how it can help us. Again, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, you must have the same attitude, the mind that Christ had. And so I want you to know this. When life gets heavy, remember it's not about you. It's not about you. I know maybe that's upset, but it's not. Listen, verses 5 and 6. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, your Lord and Savior had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something, y'all, to cling to. So Jesus existed in the very nature of God. As we say that he was God in the flesh. Yet the text says he didn't cling to his rights and his privileges, although he was and is God. And so in the theological realm, they call this the kenosis. Kenosis means to empty oneself. That when Jesus put on human flesh, he emptied himself of, some say, I don't think it's true, that some say, of his divinity. That when we properly think of, he was all God and he was all man. How do you know he was all God? Because he healed the sick, he raised the dead, that he came from the Father, he knew he was from the Father, that he was all God, but he was all man. So he did not assert his own rights, cling to his own privileges. It was for your sake and for my sake. But Jesus was all about the Father's will. John 6:38 says this, for Jesus said, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, y'all, but to do the will of him who sent me. Y'all, we are in the midst of this study again, experiencing God. You have to understand something. When God calls you, when he saves you, you have to adjust your life to God's will. I'm sorry, too many of us, y'all, we want God to adjust to our lives. Yeah. And I think maybe there's some of us that we refuse to make any adjustments at all. That we're saved, sanctified, filled with the Spirit of God, but our lives are raggedy. Because we're not making any adjustments. Yeah. We hear the Word of God, we understand what it says, but sometimes, and can I speak to myself, sometimes I don't make the adjustment. But if you're going to be in the will of God, you have to make the adjustment, and so do I. Yeah. So one of the quickest ways to lose your mind is to make everything about you. Yeah. That we get prideful and arrogant. Listen, pride will always magnify problems. Yeah. Humility minimizes the pressure. The mind of Christ says, it's not about me. It's about God. It's about God's purpose in my life. And so we get frustrated, y'all, when we have these unmet expectations, when people offend us, when I don't get to sing my favorite song at church, when I didn't get the position as the head usher, the head deacon, that we get all messed up and angry and mad and stuff over nothing, y'all. But it's not about you. The universe is not, I'm going to say it now, y'all. The universe is not centered around you. Oh, some of y'all looking at me, but it's not. That God is at the center of the universe. It's not about you. It's not about me. We have to give up our rights, or rights we think we have, stuff that we demand. Jesus had every right to be served, yet he came to serve. I think about John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, that he was the herald of Jesus Christ. Prepare the way in the wilderness. That he said, Jesus is coming, y'all. That he's coming, and he stood for Jesus. He walked for Jesus. He talked about Jesus, y'all. And John hears one day, listen, that Jesus is here, and he's out there. John, he's out there preaching. The Bible didn't say this, but I'm sure Thurman, John, he's preaching better than you. Didn't say that. One would think John may get upset about that, but John says this, y'all. He says, he, Jesus, must become greater, and I must become lesser. Yeah. And that's the way we have to think, y'all. It's not about us, it's about him. That John was able to keep his mind, his sanity, his way of thinking, because it wasn't about his assignment. It was not about him. It wasn't about promoting himself. Too many people want to promote themselves in the church today. But it's not about us. Think about carrying a backpack filled with rocks, y'all. That can be exhausting. But in this backpack, y'all, we put in rocks of criticism. Rocks of offense, rocks of hurt feeling, rocks of rejection, rocks of backstabbing. And we go around with heavy weights on us, y'all, but we have to get to the point where we realize if it's not about us, I can strip off my ego and I can throw out those rocks that were never meant for me. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. That too often, yeah, we have some people have this sense of pride. It's like this ego, this haughtiness, this arrogance. But others, we're still focused on us. We're not haughty and arrogant. But we make stuff about us when it's not about you. It's about him. You lose your mind trying to be the center of a universe that was never meant for you. So if we're going to keep our mind, we must first surrender our pride, our ego. We must surrender that to God. But there's another lesson that Jesus wants us to learn. Listen, when life gets hard, choose surrender over control. Surrender over control. Instead, he, on verse 7 and 8, instead he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross, y'all. That hits my heart. Jesus died for me, y'all. He gave up his life for you and me. He surrendered his life. He chose surrender over control. That Jesus maintained peace because he surrendered himself completely to the Father's will. Are you surrendered completely to God's will for real, though?
Yeah.
Let me let that marinate. Are you totally surrendered to God's will? Are you really totally surrendered to God's will? See, control creates anxiety. Surrender creates peace. And some of us, y'all, we are just mentally exhausted because we're trying to control things that only God can control. I think about Moses at the Red Sea. You know the story, that the Red Sea is in front of them. The Pharaoh and his army they're behind them, that they seem to have no way out. They're between a rock and a hard place. But in that moment, I believe that Moses trusted God. Moses says to Israel, stand still and watch the Lord rescue. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That the miracle in this story, part of the miracle in this story is that Moses trusted God in the situation. We need to learn how to take our worries, y'all, and turn them into prayers and ask God to help us. That in that moment, I believe Moses, he called on God. God was with him in this moment. He stretched out his rod, y'all, and the sea parted. What I love about that story, y'all, go back and read that story, is that God told them to move before the sea departed. Tell the people to move out before the sea even departed. That's real trust in God. But we need a surrendered mind, a surrendered mindset to get to that place in our lives. We need to learn how to turn our worries into prayers. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, very familiar passage of scripture. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience peace that surpasses all human understanding. How many of us have surrendered our worries, our problems, our issues in prayer to God? Imagine for a minute riding in an airplane and there's a whole bunch of turbulence. And you try to force your way into the cockpit, y'all, because there's turbulence. Listen, the safest place, it's not control. The safest place is trusting the pilot. I wonder how many people are trying to fly God's airplane. Yeah. That we're trying to take control of our own life. We're not surrendered to him. Totally surrendered. Heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Surrendered to God. The mind loses peace when it grabs for control. The mind finds peace, y'all, when we trust God. Do you trust God to have control of your life? So Jesus surrendered his life to the Father completely, even to the point of death. Yet his story didn't end at the cross, and neither does yours. So know this, when life gets dark, remember that humility comes before exaltation. Humility comes before exaltation, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 and then 9 again. He, Jesus, humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Listen to that. God elevated him to the place of highest honor. God did it. He didn't do it himself. God did it. not a man. God elevated him to the place of highest honor. Listen, God's pattern for our lives is always cross before crown, sacrifice before success, humility before honor. And so people lose their minds because they think their struggle there is their final chapter. You feel like what you're going through, what you're dealing with, it's your final chapter. It's not over, though, until God says it's over. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Y'all know it very well. And we know. All things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going, it will work out for your good. God says it will. That your final chapter is not over. Think about Joseph in the Old Testament, Genesis 37 through 50. Genesis chapter 37 through 50. Read it when you get home, y'all. We know Joseph's story, though. That Joseph was, he was loved by his father. He was favored by his father Jacob, and his brothers hated him. They hated him so much, they took him out, y'all. They threw him into a pit. They decided to take him out of the pit, y'all, and they sold him to Potiphar, into Potiphar's house. Y'all know the story. That Potiphar's wife was looking at him. She made some accusations against him. He was thrown into prison. And he went from prison to the palace. The pit was not his final chapter. The pit was not his end. The prison was not the end. God was writing a larger story for Joseph. Yeah. And somebody needs to hear that today, that God has a larger story for you and for me. He has a larger story, a bigger picture, and you're a part of that picture for you and for me. I think about the oak trees that we have on the property right now. I always mention them because they tell a story. That oak trees spend a lifetime growing, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years old. Many of these trees have probably been there longer than most of us here. So have you ever thought about an oak tree? The roots grow underground. It's unnoticed. It's in the dark. It's where nobody can see it. But God often develops us, y'all, in the hidden places, in the dark places, before he ever chooses to promote us. That God will allow us to go through the dark seas, those dark places, so we can promote and so people will see us in those public places strong. Yeah. So don't judge God's plan by your present pain. Maybe you feel like you're in the dark right now. Maybe you feel like you are alone. Nobody knows what you're going through. Nobody can see your struggle, but God does. So Jesus could endure the cross because he knew exaltation was coming. And church, beloved, I want you to, exaltation is coming, but you got to go through the seasons of pain. You have to go through seasons of dark places, but don't lose your attitude. Don't lose your mind towards God because you're going through a dark season of your life. Yeah. So because one day when the Bible says this about Jesus, exaltation is coming. When life feels chaotic, other thing, we have to focus on what will matter and what's going to matter forever, y'all. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. The mind stays steady when it focuses on eternal realities rather than temporary circumstances. Yeah. Look to those things which are above, not those things which are beneath, Colossians chapter 3. Because the things that we see right now, they will disappear, y'all. But the things that are above, they are eternal things. They are God things. Yeah. So most of what keeps us awake, y'all, every night, it won't matter. It won't even matter in a year. It won't matter in 5 years. You know, so Jesus lived with eternity in view. Not just the temporary. Donna, not just the here and now. But for eternity. Romans chapter 8, verses 17 through 18. It says this. And since we are his children, that's you and me, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, guess what? We have to share in his suffering as well. Yet what we suffer now is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. That better is coming, greater is coming. Yeah. But look to the greater. Look to what's ahead. Look to eternity. Some people call it pie in the sky. Call it what you want to. But I just believe greater is coming. And we simply have to hold on and wait. But we have to keep the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ. Yes, yeah. How you represent Jesus matters in this world today. Yes. Listen, if you have broken and stinking thinking and a broken attitude, how do you think that impacts somebody else that is looking to Jesus? Or they're looking to you and you say you represent Jesus. Y'all, I think about Stephen in the New Testament. Deacon Stephen, powerful Stephen, a man full of faith. And how he preached to a number of people, y'all, they got so upset with him, they began to stone him. And the Bible says that he looked up into heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. That Jesus was standing up for him, y'all.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Can you stand to be stoned? Yeah. I'm not talking about in a literal sense. I'm not talking about people picking up big rocks and hitting. But can you stand to be stoned? Can you stand for people to criticize you?
Yeah.
Can you stand when people talk about you? As the old people say, can you stand when people scandalize your name? Can you stand it when people reject you? Can you stand it?
Yes.
Can you stand to be stoned?
Yes.
Stephen did. His circumstances were terrible, y'all. But his focus was on eternal things. His focus was on Jesus and God in the heavens. And that's where our focus needs to be. And Stephen said, Stephen, he died in peace. But he could die in peace because of his focus where he was looking to. So when driving through a storm, y'all, experienced drivers, they don't look at the rain on the windshields. They look at the road ahead of them. The rain, y'all, it's temporary, but the destination is permanent. You'll lose your mind staring at the storm, always fixated on the storm. But your mind will be kept in perfect peace. When your mind is stayed on him. Stop looking at the storm and start looking at Jesus. Stop looking at your circumstance, look at Christ. Stop looking at things that depress you and discourage you and keep you down. Start looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So I have a few takeaways, y'all. We're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. We're going to get out of here. So we need some practical stuff to take with us from this sermon. So know this, the mind of Christ chooses humility over pride. That's what the text is really talking about. The humble servant, Jesus Christ, that he chose humility. Oh, he didn't choose for his self-ego. He chose the will of the Father. Know this too. The mind of Christ chooses to surrender over control. Surrender your whole life to the Lord. Y'all, that's a tall order. And I ask you again, are you totally surrendered to Jesus? For real though. Have you made the necessary adjustments in your life to say that you're truly carrying out and doing the will of God, the Father, and His Son? Are you really? Notice the mind of Christ trusts God's process during difficult seasons. Some of y'all been through some difficult seasons, but you had to trust God in the process, that God knew exactly what He was doing. God had you exactly where He wanted to have you, and God brought you through. With God, I can get through this. And then know this, the mind of Christ focuses on eternity rather than temporary struggles. That these light afflictions that we have are working out for us a far more eternal weight of glory. What you're going through, it's just for a season. It's just for a while. But in all the things that are happening in our life, don't lose your mind. Don't use your way of thinking, your attitude, the way Jesus, in thinking about Jesus. That's thinking, y'all. So if we're honest, again, some of us probably walked in here today, our minds were heavy, worried about our children, maybe you're worried about your finances, you're worried about what that next job is going to look like, you're worried about maybe it's your marriage relationship, you're exhausted from fighting battles nobody knows about, and some of you all, you're smiling again publicly, but you're struggling privately. And the enemy, maybe he's whispering to you right now, you're not going to make it, that you're falling apart, that you're losing your mind. But Philippians chapter 2 reminds us that Jesus faced betrayal and rejection and suffering, humiliation and pain and death. But he never lost his mindset. He never lost his attitude, his way of thinking about carrying out God's will for his life. He never lost sight of God the Father. That's what I'm saying. Don't lose sight of Jesus with whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through.
Yeah.
The same Christ, the same Jesus who humbled himself is the same cross, Christ that endured the cross. The same Christ who was exalted by the Father. And he lives in you. He lives in me by the power of his Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to solve every problem today. All you have to do is stay focused on God. Stay focused on Jesus. You don't have to understand every detail, every plan in your life. You simply need to have the mind of Christ. So when pride says, listen, fight for yourself, the mind of Christ says, trust God. When fear says, take control, the mind says, surrender. When pain says it's over, the mind of Christ says, God isn't finished. It's never over until God says it's over. When anxiety says, listen, you're losing your mind, say, no, I'm not. I have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. So if Jesus endured the cross and he emerged victorious, through his power, we can face whatever tomorrow brings. And God can give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Because know this, and I'm done with it. The secret's not, it's not about holding things together yourself. The secret is letting Christ hold you together. Can I ask you, church, is he holding you together? Do you know that God is holding you together? Like the old people, you say, God, keep the reins of my mind. Hold me together, Jesus. Hold my mouth together. Hold my way of thinking together. Keep me wherever I walk. Hold my mouth together so I can speak the things that you speak. Hold me together. Hold my head together. Hold my mind together. Hold my life together, Jesus. Y'all, it's celebration time if y'all hadn't figured it out right now. You serve a God that's holding you together. You serve a God that's keeping you. He has keeping power. He has keeping power, and he's holding us together. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So stop with the thinking, and all of that, and keep your mind. As the old folk used to say, again, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. The church said amen. To put your mind on Jesus, to stay focused on him, starts with a relationship with him. Perhaps there's someone here today that you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So you have to put your faith in Jesus Christ first. So how do we do that? That we have to recognize that we've all sinned and fallen short of his glory. That we need a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to confess or to come into agreement with Jesus about our sins. We repent or we turn from our sins and we turn to God. We ask Jesus to forgive us, to save us by his grace. And then, y'all, ultimately, we turn over the rule of our lives. We adjust our lives to Jesus and allow him to be the Lord of our lives. So if you're here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, we invite you in this moment to come right now. Our ushers are standing in the aisle. Their hands are extended. Won't you follow them across the hallway to room number one? We'll gather information. We'll welcome you with open arms. Perhaps you're here today and you are already, as we say in the church, you know the language. You are a born-again believer. You have a relationship with Jesus. But you're not connected to a church somewhere where you can fellowship with other believers, pray with other believers, serve with other believers. Living Faith Community Church is a great place to be, y'all. Not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect God. Won't you come in this moment? Our hands are extended. Won't you come right now?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.